B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelleher and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Patriots Minute, then back to your phones. Something is starting to bug us as it relates to the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Just one thing?
Well, I have to come up with a whole new subset of Patriots topics. I was thinking about this. That bug me. I'm going to rip them for it. But I'm going to acknowledge in the same breath, it's not going to matter at the end. So, because I still have to do a show. I still have to tell you things I like and don't like. But I'm also now, we've been at this 17, 18 years, and they keep winning. And so the more I realize these things that bug me aren't going to matter. They're still going to win. Everyone else sucks. The division's getting worse. The conference is getting worse. You're staying the same. You might be getting a little worse too, but you're still so much better than everybody else.
And these things would typically trip up lesser teams too.
Everything else, you know,
but it doesn't matter.
Everyone else is stupid. Everyone else sucks. And so these things that bug me, I acknowledge aren't going to matter. They're not going to matter. You're going to be 12 wins at least. You're going to win the division. You'll home in the divisional round after a bye. You'll beat up on some totally unprepared team that's road weary. Then you're in the AFC Championship game. So that's, I'm not telling you this is going to change that. But I still have to tell you things that bug me and don't bug me.
Mm-hmm.
And we will continue to do that.
Oh, no. I'm not going to stop bitching.
So this is where we separate, where we're still able to do this. Okay? And so there's things that bug the crap out of me with the Patriots. And here's one of them. It's not just me. It's these guys. But franchise tags are now due. And so now you have a chance to franchise one of your players. And you've got a great left tackle. You have a great defensive lineman who's a pass rusher. You've got these guys who you could franchise and make sure don't go anywhere. Instead, who's the odds-on most likely player to be franchised by the Patriots?
The kicker.
Their freaking kicker. And I will fully acknowledge, whether they sign him to a little deal or a big deal or franchise him or not, whether he's the kicker or Harry Schmedlap is the kicker or Maz is the kicker, it's not going to matter. They're going to win 12 games. They're going to be home for the divisional round and then in the AFC Championship game, and we'll go from there. So I fully acknowledge this. But the fact that they might franchise the kicker, how do we feel about that?
Go ahead, Murray.
I hate it because I want it used on Trent Brown in the first place, and I've talked about that because that's more important. But I don't know. Like, this guy, again, he's going to get it. It's the last time that they used it in 2015. He's the one that got it. And then I could understand, because you could make the argument he was the best kicker in the NFL at the time. Now? I don't know. I mean, I think you have a strong enough argument against bringing him back. He's now figured prominently in two of the bigger losses in the playoffs for the Patriots in recent years, 2015 in Denver in that AFC Championship game, where he literally is the reason, like, the main reason that they lose that game. The missed extra point and missed field goal in the Super Bowl against the Eagles now 2 years ago. So he misses kicks in big games. Yes, he's reliable in the regular season. That's the argument for. And he's probably a better option than many of the choking dogs at that position. But can we at least get some competition? Like, you franchise him, guarantees he's going to be back. There's not going to be any competition that pushes him this year in the offseason, into training camp. I just want someone to push Gostkowski. I feel like there's maybe a cheaper option out there so you can, you know, shore up different areas of this team where you still need a lot of help. Defensive line, if Flowers is going to be gone, you need help at wide receiver. I don't like the idea of Stephen Gostkowski getting the franchise tag again.
I hate it. Hate it. And I hate it on multiple levels. Like, honestly, the whole competition thing, I've almost given up on that. Yeah, you used to joke about this with Claude Julien. Does Gostkowski have pictures of Belichick with barnyard animals? Like, well, what's the story here?
Well, I don't know.
Right, who has more of an assured job for life, him or Danny Ainge?
Jimmy Stewart, I know you're talking to Dennis there, but it's the same answer, so I'll just set you up. But why has Stephen Gostkowski been the highest paid kicker in the game over the last 5 years, and why may they continue to make him one of the highest paid kickers in the league?
Hush money?
Thank you.
Page 31 of the Wells Report?
Thank you. He's in there. People forget. Whole section on Gostkowski.
I mean, so I look at that
maybe
and
it's
say,
34.
Like, you know, fine, so don't bring in the competition. You got to give him the franchise tag to keep your kicker?
It's so annoying.
So like, I look at it and say,
let's franchise the freaking kicker again, the cheapest position on the field. The franchise tag for the kicker.
So I want to see how this plays out. Because if they lose Flowers, Flowers especially, because I at least I think they have a contingency plan for Brown.
Yes.
Okay, they drafted Isaiah Wynn, but with the case of Trey Flowers, I think they need him. So if they can sign Flowers, then I'm not as upset about it from a Patriots standpoint. Now, on a universal NFL level, to me, and I've told you this before, the franchise tag in the NFL is one of the great injustices in pro sports. Like, okay, so the whole idea of why do they call it the quote-unquote franchise tag?
It's not for the kicker.
Because it's supposed to be used on someone important, like a quarterback, or dare I say, a pass rusher, a corner.
A freaking like, kicker.
To me, they got to modify this rule to say you're not allowed to use it on a kicker or a punter.
No question. It's like it's the lowest paid position on the field, so you're going to weasel that tag as opposed to just paying the cheapest guy on the field. Like, God!
Unbelievable.
Oh, it bugs me. It bugged me when they did it to Adam a couple times. They've done it like four or five times.
I hate the franchise tag. I hate the concept of it.
Didn't they do it to Adam twice? I think they did it to Vinatieri twice and then to this guy at least once.
Yeah, 2015 they did it.
Didn't they do it to Asante Samuel once, man?
Okay, at least it's a corner that was for $20 million.
Oh, like, I see what you're saying.
That's what the tag is for if you're going to use, you know, your best defensive player.
Use it on the kicker.
The kicker. Oh, God. The kicker. Because you don't want to pay him a couple million bucks or whatever it is. It's like, God, figure that out.
Or change the name of it to the replaceable bum tag. Like, what? One or the other.
Then there's a whole other thing, which is, what's your confidence level in Steven Gostkowski right now in a big game?
Not great.
Because Murray just mentioned it. Every big game, every championship game, he's doinking one. And the ones that do go in, like, how'd you feel about even the ones that he made? I don't think he hit the ball well once in that Rams game.
They all got English on him.
Yeah. Totally. No, look, like the one he made at the end of the game, that just sneaked in there.
I don't think he hit a single ball well in that entire game.
So I heard this earlier. Was he 16th, or were the Patriots rather 16th as a team in field goal percentage this year?
I don't know.
Dead middle of the pack. So that warrants the franchise?
The kicker?
Exactly.
So this is, again, file under getting someone in trouble for something they haven't done yet. They haven't franchised him.
And how was the kick coverage this year? How were the kickoffs?
But we're going to yell about it anyway.
No, he's pointing that way. I mean, you're more reputable reporters. You're Mike Reese's of the world. We're already saying he's going to be the one that gets it.
Schefter reported it, right?
Yeah. He said that he's going to get it?
Said there were going to be 10 players who get the franchise tag, including Steven Gostkowski.
Oh, brother. So that's annoying. Annoying.
It should be Flowers or Brown, period, end of story.
Okay. Brown, to me, I'm against signing Brown. He scares me. Weight problem in San Fran, gave up in San Fran, went on a total contract run, admits he didn't like watching film or some sort of, that whole thing, scares me.
Yeah, I'm out on an island on that one, I know.
Okay, so Trent Brown, I'm okay with them passing on. If Trey Flowers signed, 10-year, $100 million contract with another team as a free agent, I'd say, well, I don't want to pay him that either.
But you could have franchised
him. But you can franchise him.
For 1 year.
1 year, is it 17, 18 million?
I think it's even it's about that high. Yeah. It's around 17.
It's a big number. I don't think they'll do it. But you don't have to pay him $100 million to keep him. You only have to pay that 1 year, and it's a lot. But I think he's your most important player on defense. It would aggravate me if they let Trey Flowers go. That would aggravate me. Trent Brown, I am almost encouraging them to let go. Okay, sell high and walk away, you know, when you got a good year out of him. But tagging the kicker.
Oh, God, I hate it. Please, it violates the spirit of the rule. They call it the franchise tag so that you don't lose like a quarterback. Why they made the rule.
If you believe in the guy, just pay him. It's not that much. It's the lowest paid position on the field. And if you don't believe him, and I'd encourage that too, because every big game he's had in the last 3 or 4 years, he's missed a kick. He's missed extra points that have made you go for two. You might make the Super Bowl in 2015 if you're not going for two at the end of that game with, you know, Brady missing Gronkowski in the corner of the end zone. You might be winning that thing. They were going for two because Dingleberry there doinked an extra point earlier in the game. And go back, Les, we'll play him for you here coming up.
And I like Gostkowski. I do overall because Murray, remember last year when the threat of losing him all of a sudden went, uh-oh. Like, now who are they going to put out there?
I don't worry about it one bit.
But the franchise tag on a kicker? Come on. Seriously.
That's not Gostkowski's fault. It's like, it's just circumcising a mosquito, like the Jerry Jones would say. What are we doing?
Skeeter.
You're gonna franchise Cardona next? You don't want to pay him 1.2 versus 900,000 or what? Like
Devlin.
It means nothing to the bottom line. It's just a little aggravation. that I share with you with this team. We're going to franchise the kicker again, who I don't even know if he's that good anymore.
Oh, I'm telling you, I hate that rule. I hate the franchise rule in general with a passion. I can't stand it. I feel it's un-American, for crying out loud. You're too good at your job, so we're not going to pay you.
There's your Patriots.
That's what it is.
There's your Patriots minute. How'd you feel about it? Back to your calls on everything right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Nass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Nass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The snap from the spot. Kicked by Gostkowski. Airborne to the uprights. And it's no good.
What?
Gostkowski with a miss off to the right. Steven Gostkowski, who's made an NFL record 463 consecutive regular season extra points, misses to the right, and it's 7-6 Denver with 1:49 to go here in the first.
I mean, that could be a killer.
And Super Bowl 51 between the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons.
Point after try by Gostkowski from the left hash of the 23. Snap from Cardona to Allen. Kick airborne to the uprights, and the kick bangs off the right upright. Greening, no good. Super Bowl 52 between the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. Gostkowski will attempt a 26-yard field goal from the near hash. Cardona's snap is low. Allen has to reset it. Gostkowski's kick hits the left upright, and it clanks off the upright, no good. A disastrous turn for the Patriots on that possession. The snap in the spot from the left hash. The Gostkowski kick is no good. He hooked it left. Elliott missed a kick right. Gostkowski pulls that kick left, and the Patriots,
it's unreal,
now trail 15-12. Super Bowl 53 between the New England Patriots, champions of the AFC, and the NFC champion Los Angeles Rams. Joe Cardona over the football, snaps it back. Placement and a swing of the right leg. The kick is driven to the uprights, and the kick is no good. Gostkowski missed it off to the left.
You hear how depressed Bob Sosi was by the end of that? So we just strung them together. Thanks to Jimmy Stewart for putting that together. Missed extra point in the 2015 AFC title game in Denver. Missed extra point versus Atlanta. Why are you going for 2 points at the end of that game? Because Gostkowski misses the extra point.
Here I am talking about the losses. I forgot about that, too.
Right? I mean, you would have thread the needle because you missed the extra point. Philly Super Bowl. Missed field goal. Bad snap, but you also missed a field goal and an extra point.
I think that field goal was 26 yards.
Missed field goal against the Rams this last... Yeah. Every championship game you've played the last 4 years, he's missed a kick.
I mean, really, it's unbelievable.
And by the end of it, Sosi sounds depressed. He could barely spit it out.
Maybe Sosi's the problem. Maybe he's like a bad luck charm for Gostkowski.
Again, the argument for he's reliable in the regular season, and there's certainly way, way worse options out there when it comes to other choking dogs at this position. But this guy in the postseason in recent years, like, give me a break. It's like a lock. He's going to miss one, and it could cost you like it did in 2015. And he figured prominently in the loss against the Eagles as well. And at this point, just can you push him a little bit, bring in some competition at least, and you're going to franchise him over the other two guys in Brown and Flowers? Ugh.
Telling you, it's un-American. It is. It's un-American. The franchise tag is un-American. And using it on a kicker? Holy crap. That should be like a felony.
That's gross.
Seriously, you should have to go to jail for that, for crying out loud. There should be an automatic fine for franchising the kicker. $5 million automatically increases to 10, so nobody does it.
Okay, so there's your Patriots thought of the day. Back to your phones. We'll start. We'll get to Kyrie. Don't you worry about it. Him coming up this hour. But your phone's on whatever you want here. Chuck in New Hampshire. What do you got on the Pats?
I just had a question. Odell was drafted, spent 2 years with Coughlin. During those 2 years, he was actually fine. 3 years after that, Coughlin's gone. He did have 1 year where he only played, what, maybe four games. And all of a sudden, he starts running his suck, and they can't control him. Do you don't think that if we actually got him, because I don't think that this is done yet. I do think the Pats are still going to try and pick somebody up. You don't think that if he came here, he would quiet down because he knows the system that we're having. I mean, Coughlin comes from the same background that Belichick does, so wouldn't that make sense?
No, it's possible. It's possible that he'd get in line. I don't know if it's a guarantee, but it's possible. I still don't want him. I still don't want him. I don't want to pay him that money. And if he towed the line in a Coughlin for the first couple of years, well, has the horse left the barn since he lost Coughlin? Because it feels like he's been all over the place since.
Definitely. Look, and I wonder, you know, it's harder now because Coughlin's in the same conference. But I don't know, would you put it beyond Bill to reach out and say, what's the guy like?
For sure.
And then, you know, he probably checked him out a little bit. But that said, I just think they got other areas they can spend their money more effectively and resources because you have to give up picks or players to get them.
Here's Ross and Bill Ricker with the Bruins take. Go ahead, Ross.
Oh, great. Another Jimmy Hayes 2.0, another local guy for the second line with Krejci. You know, just what Krejci wants, another plumber. My only problem, if he ends up being the third line center, Coyle, that is, I'm fine with that. That means they got something else for the second line. But my only problem is they gave up Donato when they have all these other tall stiffs that they can use. It's the one real young prospect that they have that his ability is elite scoring. How hard is it to add on a few pounds and get stronger on the puck as opposed to,
okay,
you know, giving one of these plumbers any sort of skill?
He's got an elite shot. That doesn't mean he's going to be an elite scorer.
Agreed.
Okay? That's, you know, the way it works now in the league, the goalies are so freaking good that you got to get in there. You got to be next to the cage. And if he can't get there, what good is that shot? Because I don't care how good his shot is. You can't score on top of the faceoff circles anymore in the NHL.
So, and I don't know if he's their best prospect. To me, this gets back to sort of the core thing. Sweeney's whole platform was to draft, develop, and not let these guys go. Now he's traded one. One that we have seen.
Okay, but you know he has a glut. He was going to have to move some.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that from the group of DeBrusk, Heinen, Donato, and I throw Bjork in there too. Okay, those are all four left-shot wingers. All of them. So you weren't going to keep them all. So now the question is, can you evaluate your own guys properly? Can you do it right?
Okay. The local guy thing also does bug me. I could give two poops. And, you know, the Hayes family misunderstood when I talked about this, that the old man drank at the Erie pub. Like, that's not a commentary on
him,
on the Hayes father. I'm just saying, When they signed Jimmy Hayes, Steve Buckley wrote a story in the Herald. Says, oh, neat. Look at the dad at the Erie pub. It's Dorchester. It's like, I could give two poops if he hangs out at the Ground Round in Littleton or the Erie pub in Dorchester or Bennigan's in Boca Raton, Florida. I could care less where these guys are from. It does nothing for me. And does it do anything for you, Boston? I know I'm not from here. I've lived here 30 years. Coyle's a BU guy. I'm a BU guy. I could care less whether he went to BU, DU, or FU. I don't care where the guy's from. So that part of it, he's from East Weymouth. Who cares? What? And what's the difference between East Weymouth and Weymouth?
Yeah, East Weymouth is a little farther
east. I understand, but I didn't even know there was a difference.
Me neither.
Oh, he skated with the junior wings down in the South Shore with Chris Wagner. I don't care.
It sounds like Pierre, what's his name?
Yeah, Noel McGuire was babbling. McGuire. Of course, Pierre McGuire was flapping his gums last night about the junior team they played with on the South Shore. I don't care. I don't care if they're from Mars. I don't care if they're Timbuktu. I don't care where the old man has lunch.
Because you're a cop at
the Saskatoon butt stick.
I don't care. The Saskatoon butt sticks or the East Weymouth Terriers, and I'm a BU guy. I love BU. I don't care if you went to BU or whatever, or the University of Miami. I don't care. So, like, it bugs me when they play up the local angle. Like, I don't give two poops. Does he? Because if he sucks like Jimmy Hayes, I don't care where the old man has lunch.
He's one of us.
Right?
Yeah, I think he played for the Manitoba Moose Balls.
Okay, so the other thing is, Are they just taking the local guys because that's where they're scouting? Are they, like, can they identify other talent, or is it just comfortable for them? Because I also think Charlie Coyle is, I think he's Amante's nephew. Tony Amante's nephew.
Is that right?
Yeah. And, like, Donato's kid, Amante's nephew, like, can you expand your horizons a little bit? Or are you just drafting those guys or taking those guys because you know them and you're comfortable with them? Or, like, I don't, the local thing bugs me a little bit too. I'm sorry. Yes, Jimmy.
Mike, would you like to hear Elliot Friedman with the potential of Charlie Coyle having an issue in Boston?
Sure, go ahead.
Sure.
Minnesota's ask was always very high. Because Minnesota would always say to teams, Charlie Coyle is a really big, strong guy. He can play center. He can play wing. He can play up and down your lineup. He can do a lot of things. You know, he never produced as well as everybody hoped, but everybody saw a role for him.
Now, many would say that was because he bounced positions. You buy that?
I just think that, you know, he had a couple hot streaks here and there. And the other thing that Minnesota always said was, it wasn't because he wasn't working at it. Like, he always showed up in great shape. He always did whatever they said that he had terrible self-confidence problems. Like, he would get down on himself hugely.
Oh, great.
Oh, boy.
Don't let him listen to the radio,
Don. Yeah, exactly. Take away his iPod.
I would never encourage someone not to listen to Felger and Mab. Maybe you know some classic rock, ROR, 105.7. So, if he's a
terrible self-confidence problems. Like, he would get down on himself hugely.
Good God.
In this market?
Yikes. So, anyway.
Oh, boy.
Here's my rant on that. I don't care that he's local. I just don't. Jay and Lawrence. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. I like him.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with you. That's the only thing I don't like about Sweeney. I didn't want him as my GM after Shirelli left. Nearly needed his little blanket there and got his friend. He's not a real GM. They should never go at him. You're never going to see him do a 2-3-team trade. He just, like you said, it's always going to be someone that he knows, Amante Son or Grizzlix or this one. It was just the wrong GM
team. Grizzlick's dad works on the Bull Gang. Like, it's a neat story, but do you care if that's your hockey
team? No, of course not. Who gives a rat's ass? I don't care. Bergeron's from Mars. Okay, as long as he can play, I like him.
Okay, we don't know. Sweeney's done some good, some bad. I don't know if he hasn't been a disaster like Shirelli to me.
No, and look, he did make the Lucic deal he made was a good deal.
And he hired the right coach. I mean, we can say that.
Yeah, so look, I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you, they're at the point now where this is the stage where you can't make mistakes. Okay, you've got some players that look half decent. Maybe they're not all first liners, but whatever. They're half decent. Now you got to get it right. If Donato ends up being better than DeBrusque or Heinen, then you're going to look at it and say, well, you should have traded one of the other guys.
Michael and Methuen. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, maybe Sweeney scouts like Belichick scouts at Rutgers.
exactly.
Yeah. You know, the Bruins are 9-0-1 in their last 10 games. They gained 1 point on Tampa Bay in the standings. But what I look at is I want to see how Tampa Bay finishes because it's so easy to sort of glide through the season and then sort of slack off a little bit. Your last 20 games, you go into a little bit of autopilot. You take that into the playoffs. Maybe the Bruins can catch them that way or another team can catch them that way. And the other thing is, I don't know if you know this, but St. Louis is 10-0-0 in their last 10 games, and the Bruins have them on Saturday, and that's just a hockey-gasm.
Very good hockey-gasm. Should be a good one. St. Louis, the hottest team in the league, and you're hot.
The two hottest teams in the league, basically.
Yeah. It's not 10, it's 11. They're going for 12 straight tonight.
So there it is. That comes up this weekend. The thing about Tampa, yes, they got to, even if you make another trade, if you bring in Panarin, you're still the underdog against Tampa. If you bring in Simmons, you're under the dog against Tampa, I think. You just got to hope they trip up somehow, which happens in hockey. Thank God hockey's a sport where you can outwork a team or you can...
Goalie catches on fire.
There's ways to win, but it's going to have to be one of those things. It's not like you're going to go in as the better team and win on your talent over their talent because you don't have more talent than them.
They get Pittsburgh in that first round and they have the firepower to upset.
So there's one. Pittsburgh's sniffing around one of those wild card spots. It's possible. It's Pittsburgh, Tampa in the first round. Hope Sidney Crosby knocks them off.
Right. Or by the time you see them, someone has worn them out a little bit. You lose a body here and there. Like, you know how the playoffs go.
Okay. With your thoughts, we continue on the Charlie Coyle trade. We'll get to the Celtics. Haven't done it yet. And Mr. Happy, Kyrie Irving back at it. We'll be right after Murray's update here.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's all over the internet.
Do you live? Is the internet real for you in your life? It's my life, right? It's two people talking, having a conversation. If this was a real world, would it be anybody else's business? But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right?
I hear you.
Making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it?
Well,
why does that have an impact on my life? Why are you asking me those type of questions?
Yes.
About cooling it off? For what?
The reason we're
I don't get it.
The reason we're asking about it is because the people that the fans are interested in.
Oh, the fans.
Yes.
This is about the fans. Okay, this is about, so you're right for the fans.
You do it your life. So I don't care.
Okay, so that's where we start the conversation. What I do with my life is my business. So it's none of yours, none of anybody's, it's not anybody's business, right? So it's a video of me and one of my best friends talking. And then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency meeting? You get that? Like, you, do you get that? And then I'm asking, and I'm asked questions about it? Like, that's what disconnects me from all that. Like, because I have no connection to that. Like, over a video, I'm asking questions about the fans, and you brought up the fans? Come on, man. You do it for the likes and clicks. Everybody does. Everybody wants to hear me talk like this. Like, everybody wants to hear every athlete talk about bullshit like this. A video, though, to pour water on it, makes no sense. It just makes no sense. It's not real life.
Kyrie Irving yesterday in Milwaukee, being asked questions by Steve Bopet about all of his grab ass with Kevin Durant over All-Star weekend, including that conversation in the hallway where it looks like Kyrie Irving is saying two max slots, it's time. Your reaction to Kyrie's reaction.
Murray, you want to go first?
Yeah, I need him to go out and put up like 30 tonight so I can like him again, because we've had too much time off here with this All-Star break, and with each passing day, I like him less and less. And this, so now I get it. The internet's real when you need it to be, Kyrie Irving. Like when you're trying to hawk some crap about your vegan lifestyle, like your latest Instagram post from yesterday, that's when the internet's real. But when we read too much, or fans read too much into a video, because that's where the video came from, a fan who saw you playing grab ass with Kevin Durant, where you mouth two max slots, now is the time. You're very emphatic about it. I've showed you guys this. You know, okay, we're reading two, we don't know that 100%, but that's what it looks like. But this is what we do. We read into it as, you know, sports talk hosts and fans. And the most people, you know, think you are going to New York, considering you are frolicking with Durant and it was a bad look. And you said, talk to me July 1st. So there's a lot of misconceptions there about where you're at with the Celtics and how you're feeling about things, because you said in October you want to stay. Now it feels like you don't. So we're not supposed to do this? Like, he's just, he's such a baby about this now. Like, what do you expect? This is what comes with it. You know that this is what comes with being an NBA superstar who's going to be a free agent, who hasn't committed to the team that you're playing for. Well, you did, and now you didn't. So what the hell do you expect? And Steve Bopet could have asked the question a little bit better. He could have just said, hey, with what you were talking about with Durant in this video that's gone viral, were you guys talking about going to New York? Because that's what it looks like. And if he says no, then he says no and you move on. But for him to get that defensive about it and to be mad at the fans, like, what do you expect? Of course the fans want to know.
I don't get this guy right now. I don't get him right now. And so, look, we've talked a lot about him. He's a hard guy to sort of relate to and like off the court. So I don't want to just sit here and beat the crap out of him all the time. Okay, but here is what I would say. What do you want, dude? What is it that you want exactly? Because in Cleveland, you said you wanted to be the guy. There's a story by Gary Washburn the other day where you said you want to be asked about social issues and elections, and you want to be asked about all that stuff. So you want the stage, you want the attention. Well, this is what comes with it, is all this crap. And it is. It's crap. I grant you the crap part of it. No one's disputing that. It is. It's crap. It's absolute bull crap. Fine. But it's part of the deal. So do you want to be the man or do you not want to be the man? Because it feels to me like you're saying one thing and you're acting some way out, some other way. To me, I don't think he has any clue as to what he's really getting into.
Do you think he can handle this?
No.
No. I think that's becoming more apparent by the day.
I mean, he can't hack it.
Handle this position he's in.
Right, the leadership role, the sort of the superstar.
The guy.
The megastar. When I say no, at least not yet. People grow, they can develop into things and sort of grow into it. Is he ready for it now? Hell no. And so again, I look at him and say, what is it exactly that you want? And for that matter, the guy that he was talking to in the tunnel, Durant, I'd say the same thing about him. He went to Golden State because he wanted to win his championships. You remember that little, the whatever you want to call it, that rant that he had just a week ago where he lost his marbles over the media? It's the same thing. Dude, do you want to be the man or not? If you want to be LeBron, this comes with the territory. It sucks. It doesn't make it right. But that's part of the deal. So what do you want?
And I would say furthermore, all the free agency speculation, those guys did create the current environment. I mean, this is what the league has become. And I think the league's better off for it, frankly, that these guys are all opting out. They're signing short-term deals. They're conspiring with each other to go to different teams and creating their own super teams. And
it's like the NFL now. There's a story 24/7, 365.
Okay, but what's different about it is that the players were the ones that have done this. The players have done this in the NBA. This is all about the players. The players are the ones that are signing these one-on-ones. These are the guys that are opting out. These are the guys that are conspiring with each other to build these super teams. And this is what the players wanted, the superstar players wanted. So with that is going to come a lot of interest over any sort of optic that shows you talking to this guy or looking at that team, or that's the whole, you created that environment.
Correct.
So
the players have been empowered, and with that power comes the scrutiny. They go hand in hand.
Okay, and so that makes Kyrie's thing here, like Durant's thing a couple weeks ago, fraudulent. But it doesn't bother me nearly as much as the stuff that Kyrie's been saying about his teammates. Like that I think, you know, if you care about the Celtics, him taking on the media, big deal. Yeah, I mean, that might even help him. That helps teams. Lord knows. We've seen the Patriots do it forever. We've seen teams do it all the time. Whether the media is right or wrong, just rally against the media and maybe that'll help you out. So if Kyrie wants to rant and rave against Steve Bulpet or the media or that vicious Celtics media, you know, and it helps him, it gives him a little spark, fine. Like, I don't care about that. All the stuff about him throwing his he continues to throw his young teammates under the bus, that's an issue.
So that stuff is, it's worse. And look, my concern is, I admit this is partly selfish on professional reasons, but the other thing is, again, I grew up here, okay, so I'm admitting that. I want him to stay. So is this sort of thing, like, does he attribute this all to the Boston media, or is it a national media thing? Like, is it enough to make him want to leave here? Because if that's what he believes, I would look at him and say, dude, it's going to be the same no matter where you go. In some ways, it might be better here. In some ways, it might be worse.
No, I don't tell me it's a Boston thing, because we're pussycats.
Certainly particularly with the Celtics.
Oh, my God. What an experience that is. It's got to be the NBA media. I mean, turn on any ESPN show, and it's all free agency speculation. So I hope he's railing against the NBA media and not the Boston media, because please.
Oh, I just, again, I look at it and say, you've got to decide, pal, what you want to be. Again, you keep saying you're 26, you've had this time in the league, you want to be a leader, you are a leader, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. With the leadership, with the power that is now given to the players through the CBA and everything else, through all of that, the scrutiny comes with it. That's part of the burden of leadership.
Especially when you all want to opt out and you all want to build your own teams amongst yourselves and your friends, and you want these free agent tours and you want the courtship and you want all those things. Fine, you got it. So then you're going to be asked about it. Like, it's just logical. I mean, that's the world you created. But that thing with Kyrie yesterday, it doesn't bother me nearly as much as some of the other stuff. You know, how he feels about his teammates and how they feel about him is, to me, still the crux of this with Kyrie Irving. So,
well, if nothing else, it just proves he's got his backup. Like, he's ready to rah.
Oh, he does. Yeah, totally.
So that's another takeaway. Can he handle this?
No.
Can he handle it?
Can't hack it.
It doesn't feel like he can handle this.
At least not yet. Maybe he will in a year or two. I don't know.
In New York? Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, but this is why LeBron, what he doesn't realize in Cleveland, LeBron protected him. And maybe not deliberately, but the presence of LeBron gave him a shield to hide behind.
Okay, your reaction to this, Danny Ainge had some thoughts on Kyrie Irving as well. You'll hear that next in our long commercial-free segment.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good. I don't necessarily understand all the questions that led up to Kyrie and Kyrie's frustration, obviously, with, you know, all of the drama that's going on. I do think it's silly that a video becomes a story.
No, I agree. I agree with that, but it's a question that has to be asked. Don't you agree that because
you guys are talking about it for like so long during the break and people are writing about it, and there's, I guess that, you know, you would expect that a question like that may come up if there's a video out there of them talking. But I mean, I also understand the perspective of the athlete who is just tired of all the drama and he can't do anything without just people bugging him about it.
All right, but it's the drama they asked for. Again, while mixing in your calls here with some of our thoughts. Greg and Lincoln, go ahead, Greg. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, guys. I just can't believe how out of touch with reality this player is, because, you know, he could have just laughed that question off so easily. And instead he asked the reporter, is the internet real to you in your life? Like, yes, the internet is real. You know, it's as real as the world is round. You know, and what people say on there, that's what the fans are thinking. And if you choose to ignore it, that's fine. But don't pretend like the people aren't going to use it to, you know, ask the questions we want to ask.
No question about it, Greg. Excellent.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, this guy wants it both ways. He wants the adulation. He wants the love, all the good stuff that goes with being the superstar, the megastar. But he doesn't want the scrutiny. The attention all comes at once.
But more specifically, he wants free agent mobility. These guys fought for and are maximizing their free agent status. We've never seen anything like it.
No, that's right.
That's a topic. That's what you're going to be asked about.
Correct.
Especially that All-Star Weekend really plays into all of it, too.
Boy, does it ever.
The players pick their own teams, and it's like, you know, if I'm the league, I consider changing that if I don't like those optics, because that just plays right into all these conspiracies. Oh, LeBron took Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving. And Kevin Durant.
It's one big business meeting for them all. And that's, I mean, it looks like that more and more each year.
Convention.
Yeah, and the thing with Kyrie, him being so defensive, like, what he has to get through his skull is this isn't coming from a negative place with fans here. Fans, more than anything else, they're terrified you're going to leave. You're important to them. You're the most important piece in this franchise. Going forward, their hope is you're going to be here long term. So can you understand why people are a little bit freaked out and why you're being asked about this? It's not coming from a place where they want to bother you and what's this video and bah, we're out to get you. Steeple Pet's not out to get you. The fans aren't out to get you, Kyrie. So you don't have to be so defensive about it. Oh, the internet's fake. Unless you're trying to hawk nonsense from your vegan lifestyle brand that you posted yesterday.
So apparently Adam Silver over the weekend had an interesting comment about this free agency and player movement. Tony pulled this.
Yeah, so this speaks to the sort of the whole new culture in the NBA. Let's go ahead and play it, Jimmy.
Two collective bargaining agreements ago, and we set out to shorten contracts because we thought we wanted to more closely tie pay to performance, and we wanted to give teams a chance to rebuild faster, meaning players wouldn't be locked into contractual situations for too long a period, and we also wanted to give players the flexibility to move on. So the result of that is the latest I've heard from our basketball operations group is that I believe 40% of our players are going to be free agents this summer. So it's two sides of the coin. Some people could say, oh my God, look at all that player movement. On the other hand, that player movement can be very positive for a lot of teams.
So Kyrie thought about the positive parts of it. The players are empowered. See, I wonder if on some level there aren't NBA executives looking around going, see, you wanted this. This is what you wanted. In the past, we got some of the scrutiny. Who are you going to keep? Who are you going to trade? Are you going to put championship pieces around this guy? What are you going to do to win it all? Are you capable of it? Blah, 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 blah. But you guys wanted more power. You wanted a bigger say in it. So shorter contracts, more mobility, right? Give the players the power. Fine. Now you have to answer the questions, though. So Kyrie is going to be a free agent. He can go anywhere he wants, and he's a team franchise-altering talent. But he doesn't want to deal with the responsibility of that.
He could also end, I mean, so right, Maz. He could also end this by just saying, I'm staying, like I told you in October.
You know, that's the other thing, too. The fact that, and this maybe goes without saying, the fact that he was as defensive as he was. Go ahead.
He never denied what they were talking about.
Exactly. Kyrie, what's the big deal? What? You know when you get your backup? When you're not prepared and someone's onto something that you don't want them to know.
He never said in that whole diatribe there against Bill Pett, we weren't talking about New York.
Right. He could have very easily said that. Like, hey, guys, look, I know you guys like to have fun with this sort of thing and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I've known Kevin a long time. We weren't talking about free agency.
So this is to Kyrie's credit. I don't think he wants to lie. You know, maybe he's had to change his mind since what he said in October, but he doesn't want to flat out lie. So instead of flat out lying and saying, no, man, we were exchanging recipes or, you know, lying, he attacks the question. Why are you even asking me the question? Which is different than saying, no, we weren't talking about that. He's never at any point said, no, I haven't been talking about that.
No.
He's just lashed out at people asking the question.
Yeah. And again, you know, it's almost like, you know, just flip the argument, right? Change the argument, start lashing out about something else and hope that people forget it.
Nate in Boston. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, so I'm kind of annoyed that I have to admit this because when I initially heard it, I thought it was top five worst takes ever. But Felger might be right. He might be onto something when he said that the Cavs won the trade with the pick. I mean, every time Kyrie talks, I cringe. I just don't understand how this guy thinks that he's helping anyone. I mean, this team, I'm with Maz and Murray that the team is not better without Kyrie, but you got to admit that the team plays harder when he's not on the court, And that just shows me that these guys don't want to fight for him. I mean, that 08 team, they fought for each other. The Bridgies, they fought for each other. This team, they can't stand Kyrie, and now the fan base is starting to lose hope in Kyrie. So I think something needs to be done. I don't know if I want to keep him or not, but I mean, something needs to be done with this guy.
Okay. Well, the thing about, you know, did you win the trade or not? You don't win the trade until he leads you to not even a championship, but he leads you deep into the playoffs, farther than you went without him, and you contend. Then he's worth the eighth overall pick. If he's injured and can't finish year one, and then mentally checks out or whatever's going on this year, and you don't do anything in year two, and then he's gone, did you win the trade? So, I mean, that's all that take was about. It hasn't come in yet. But I think it's entirely possible they get their act together and go on a run and the whole thing's validated, which is what I want to talk about next. Because for the first time in a while, now I think the focus switches on the court. And it's a really, really interesting time for this team on the court. And I think it could go either way with these guys. And I want to talk about that right after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.